Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Borders, stories about borders by the people who cross them. I'm Caitlin Pierce. Today's story isn't a joke, but it is inspired by this episode's April Fool's Day release.
I'm Marcus Berkowitz. I'm running for president.
He's not really running for president.
Okay, pants time. Get in the pants.
Marcus also wasn't wearing the pants he wanted to wear while he was telling his story.
This is really a story about pants.
So while he changes, let me give you some background. 2 years ago, Marcus took a trip to Ankara, the capital of Turkey. The region around Ankara is pretty traditional and conservative. Marcus was there for work. For most of his trip, he was with a translator, but he had one free afternoon on his own.
I'm wearing the pants.
Okay, it sounds like he's ready. I'll let him take it from here.
I'm wearing Turkish train conductor pants. They're a little wide. They're a little short. They don't really go down to my ankles. They're navy blue. They've got some stains on them. I didn't contribute to those stains. They've got some reflectors on them. They're made for a very round, short man. I'm not really a very round, short man. I've spent a bunch of my life sort of living and working in and out of Latin American. So I speak Spanish and Portuguese. I have family in Japan, Japanese family in Japan. And so everywhere I've gone, I've either had literally family there who could explain to me all of the things that I was missing, or I got to experience those things for myself because I was there either with the purpose of learning the language or having already learned the language, and I could connect to people and I could, you know, talk to people. And this was the first time that I had ever traveled to a place where I was not expected to learn the language, where I didn't really have a hope of learning the language during the time that I was there, as much as I would have loved to. I've always been really interested in bullet trains, and so I was like, I'm going to ride the high-speed rail. I was like an hour there, and then it was like I was going to spend like an hour until the next train left, and then I was just going to come back, and I was literally just going to ride the bullet train. I was going to be really excited in a really nerdy way. I go onto the platform, and there's like a sort of new but like kind of shitty, dumpy looking, like, you know, like Metra or Amtrak train sitting on the track, and I'm like, what? Something's wrong. Like, this is not high speed rail at all. This is just like a normal like Amtrak train. And I was like, shit. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, and so I was like, well, you know, like, what else am I gonna do with this afternoon? Like, so I spend an hour on the train. It's unremarkable. I fall asleep and I get off the train. And I'm like, well, I've got an hour. I'm just gonna, like, you know, wander around. It's plenty of time. So I'm walking in sort of like the only direction that seems like it makes sense. I'm just completely wandering. And I start to feel just like terrible, like I'm feeling great. And then I'm just feeling awful, like within like a second. And I'm like, I need a bathroom. I just really, really need a bathroom. So I look up and I realize that I'm right in front of a mall. So I walk into the mall. I'm like holding my stomach, I'm like crunched over. I'm like visibly in pain. And there are these three very kindly young Turkish folk. And I say to them in English, because I'm, you know, don't speak any Turkish, like, I really need a bathroom. Like, I really need a bathroom. I'm like rubbing my stomach. I'm like jumping up and down. I'm like crouching and like, oh, like, no, no. Like, is basically the only thing that they say. And then they point up. And so I'm like, oh, so I look behind me and there's these, you know, these there's a glass elevator. And I'm like, okay, like, I guess the bathroom's, you know, up in the elevator. And at this point, I'm like in so, I'm in like, just like searing horrible pain, like horrible pain. And so I went and I got in the elevator and there was this young Turkish couple in the elevator. And so the doors close and there's sort of this moment where like, I kind of like, I wouldn't say like lost consciousness, but like definitely like had to like brace myself against the back of the elevator, like against the glass. And I'm, you know, I'm like looking out over this entire mall, you know, the glass elevator's in the center of the mall. I'm looking out over the entire mall. It was just like this horrible wet sound, like kind of like when you like stick a spoon in like a thing of Jello for the first time and it makes that like. And it was like, I think they know it was me. You know, I was like, they definitely know it was me. And they're looking over at me. And it just like, I don't even remember it happening. It was like blacked out and it just exploded. Like I just popped like a fucking tick in that elevator and it just exploded. And I just lost it. I just shat my pants really, really hard, really hard. And then there's like a little ding. And like the elevator gets to the second floor and I like bolt. Because I can see the bathroom sign like right in front of the elevator. So I like ran, you know, like duck waddle ran over to the bathroom doors. And I like ran into the bathroom. And at this point, it's just like flowing, like oozing just fucking everywhere. And it didn't get down. It didn't drip down to the bottom of my pants legs until I got into the bathroom stall. These were my jeans. And so, you know, I take them off. I'm in flip-flops and basically, you know, basically my bare feet. And there is runny, oozy, brown, smelly water dripping down onto my flip-flops, my bare feet, tile floor of the bathroom. So I'm like just standing there like porky pig in it. So I like clean myself off with toilet paper. And meanwhile, I've got crusted shit all over the bottom half of my body. I mean, just like as disgusting as you can possibly imagine. I'm sitting on the toilet just thinking like, how the fuck did I get here? Like what just happened? It was supposed to be like a 3-hour day trip to this university town. I mean, it was like, you know, like Gilligan's fucking toilet stall. And so this young, probably like 15 or 16 year old Turkish kid, he came in. And I like opened the stall and I just said, help. I took, you know, the wad of lira, Turkish lira out of my bag. So I hand him this and I was like, pants, like I need pants. I mean, it was fairly obvious that I needed pants. But I hand him this money and he was like, size. And I was like, any size, like, I don't care. I just need some pants. He like instantly reappears with a pair of khakis and I put on these pants and I, you know, like wash my feet and I wash my my flip-flops and I'm like feeling all right. I'm like, you know, I got out of this. So I walk back to the train station. I like run up to the train when it comes. And so I got on the train. And I was like, I think I'm home free. Like I got this. Like I'm sitting next to this guy. I'm like, you know, I'm like exhausted from the whole ordeal, and I like, you know, to fall asleep for probably the first 45 minutes of the train ride. And I wake up, and I'm not feeling very good. And there's probably 10 to 15 minutes left before I get into Ankara. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, before I get off the train, I should go to the bathroom. It becomes apparent that everyone had the same idea I did. They were going to go to the bathroom before they got into Ankara. So there's lines at every bathroom, except one. And so I stand at the, you know, I try and open it. No, I can hear someone in there. So cool. You know, I'm starting to feel worse, way worse. I'm really not feeling good. In fact, I feel fucking horrible. And it just like, again, that like feeling washes over me of like almost losing consciousness. And I didn't completely like let go like I had in the mall, but like something came out and it dripped down and it was dripping just like a little droplets right down onto the floor of the car. And there's like, you know, like a line, like a brown line down these khakis. And I am like so uncomfortable and I'm like dancing around. And that's when the door cracks open and a woman comes out. So I like walk in. So I walk into the bathroom and I'm like feeling super relieved, but I've still like, you know, pretty clearly shat myself in public twice, a second time. And I realize that I have probably 3 minutes until this train gets into the station, right? They're making all kinds of announcements, which of course I don't understand. And so I like, you know, go to the bathroom. I feel a lot better, but I still don't have wearable pants. The train has stopped at this point. And so I opened the door crack after I could hear that pretty much everyone had gotten off. And I just started yelling help at whoever would listen. And I look out the door and there's like a line of like elderly Turkish people waiting to get the train. You know, like ladies in headscarves, like older Turkish men, like people who just do not deserve to see a pantsless American ever. And these two women train staff hear me and I try to explain what's going on and they're just losing it. They're just literally pointing through the crack in the door and laughing at me and yelling for other people to come. And at this point, this rotund train conductor walks up. So this man who spoke no English, he handed me a garbage bag, a big black garbage bag, and sort of gestured at me to like put on the pants, and then he poked holes in the garbage bag and basically like put his arm in there and pointed to my legs. So I put my pants on. I like roll them up as far as possible. I've got like rolled up pants like down to just below my knee. Otherwise, like the top of the garbage bag like wouldn't have covered up my waist. The garbage bag is like probably in like the center of the lower part of my leg. I'm like waddling in this big black garbage bag with two holes in it. It was just like wearing a potato sack. And I look out and there's literally lines on either side. It was like a, you know, when like the president gets off of a plane and there's like people lined up on either side to see him and they're like shaking hands. I didn't shake anyone's hand, but there were just like people just watching in absolute horror as like, you know, as I walked off with like shit on my legs, open to the air for all to see, like walking out, holding the garbage bag, like tied in a knot around my waist, waddling off past like, I don't know, 150, probably decent, lovely Turkish people who are just like open mouthed, gawking. I just kept being like, these are like normal people, like they didn't ask for this, like they're just like, this is just horrible, like that, like they, you know, they came to like get on this train and what they found was like this, you know, shitty American. I mean, not that, you know, the American stereotype is to like wander around in garbage bags, but like it must have just been like, oh, like this fucking American who can't handle his shit, you know. These puns are really not intended. The train conductor leads me downstairs, so I walk down into the basement of, and he, like, makes a gesture with his hand, like, strip. And I'm like, oh God, like now I'm in a basement with a Turkish train conductor. I've got shit all over me. I'm completely naked. I'm in this sort of like locker room area with like a drain in the bottom of the station, the train station. And he hands me basically a hose around the corner, and I, you know, and he turns it on and I wash myself down. And then he hands me this pair of pants that I'm wearing right now. And so I put these pants on. So he walks me out of the locker room, you know, sort of up the stairs and into the parking lot where all the taxis are waiting. And, you know, I don't think he said a single word to me the entire time. He sort of like grunted and laughed a little bit, but didn't really say a word to me. And he puts me in a cab and he gives me the biggest smile I've ever seen in my entire life. And he sort of like kisses me on both cheeks and pushes me into the cab and closes the door. I definitely considered myself like a relatively capable demonstration of like what at least I hope is like the not horrible stereotype of America, and this one just shattered any illusion that I might have had that that's the kind of representative that I am. I mean, just like, you know, I literally shat all over their country. You hear a lot about attacks in Europe and you hear a lot about strife everywhere, but, you know, Turkey has been really hard hit by a lot of this stuff. And it's like, I think it's just useful to remember that, like, you know, these are humans. These are like real people who are suffering. You know, this was Ankara. This is the same place that just got attacked. And these are the same people who were, you know, helping this, you know, helpless American when they really didn't have to.
Marcus Berkowitz traveled to Turkey 2 years ago. He's still never been on a bullet train and says that he doesn't really want to anymore. Marcus, thank you for bravely sharing your story. Andy Diaz wrote our theme music. For more stories about borders, visit bordersradio.org. I'm Caitlin Pierce. Thanks for listening, and happy April Fool's Day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.